When you're a company that already has a collective labor agreement, and typically you have levels and salary bands and structures that determine pay, as compared to companies that are not part of a collective labor agreement, because then you might have some job descriptions, but maybe not a job hierarchy. You might have some salary bands, but you might not have the whole structure either. And so when you start out, the first thing actually that you need to do is to determine what your compensation philosophy is.
Welcome to the Payroll Podcast, the show that explores the latest insights and innovations in the world of payroll. Today's episode of the Payroll Podcast is sponsored by Deel. Now take a moment to consider the following pre-show scenario. Imagine you had to visit six different houses just to cook your dinner. One place has the pots and the pans, another has the stove, another has the food. You get the idea. Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, the reality is most global businesses operate exactly the same way, using six different tools and platforms just to play their global workforce. But now there's one platform offering truly simple, truly global payroll, and that's today's sponsor. That's Deel. That's D-E-E-L. And Deel's fully managed global payroll makes it possible to pay your entire team in over 100 countries and in over 200 currencies, all in one place. So whether you're an enterprise company, a small business, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique business needs. With in-house customer success managers, local payroll experts, and more, Deel's fully managed global payroll eliminates third-party handovers and instead provides unmatched compliance and flexibility. In fact, they'll even help you track and flag the latest changes in payroll regulations before they even become an issue. And with 24/7 monitoring and best-in-class security protocols, your sensitive data is always protected. So are you ready to change your global payroll system? If you are, click the link in the show notes to book your demo with Deel today. Hello and welcome back to the Payroll Podcast. My name is Nick Day. I'm CEO at JGA Recruitment Group. We're specialist payroll recruiters. And of course, I'm the host of this wonderful show. Thank you for joining me today for what's going to be a really fascinating insight into the world of pay transparency. And I'm welcoming a guest back to the show. In fact, she's been a guest twice before. So we're going to skip some of the usual questions we ask. If you want to find out Anita's view on the word payroll or the vault answers, please do check out previous episodes. But today, I really want to focus all of our attention on the intricacies of pay transparency and how that really impacts the world of payroll. However, for those of you that aren't perhaps familiar with my guest today, Anita Letting, she is a highly experienced HCM and payroll influencer. She's a keynote speaker. She's an author of two wonderful books, and I'll talk about those a little bit later on. And she's a really, really well thought of speaker on the world of work, the future of work in particular, and especially in relation to payroll and HR tech. Today, we're going to be exploring the complexities and the benefits of implementing pay transparency within your organization. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Anita Letting back to the Payroll Podcast. How are you feeling today, Anita?
Hi, Nick. Thank you for inviting me again. Always a pleasure to be here.
Super, super happy to have you here. I'm a huge fan of your newsletter. I'm a huge fan of your work and your voice. You really are influencing the industry. You certainly influence me. But I know that you've kind of changed, I guess, course a little bit from the work that we first got together on our recording probably 4 years ago now. And you've done an awful lot of work in the world of pay transparency. So I'd love to know a little bit more about what's inspired you to focus on pay transparency in your work and why it's important our listeners really do sort of take heed as to why this is important for them and their organizations as well?
A couple of years ago, I focused predominantly on the future of work, as you well know. And then about 18 months ago, I realized that there were a lot of people now talking about the future of work, and the future was a lot closer than it was before. And so I started to think about what is something that we should be talking about, but we aren't. And that was the connection to pay. I realized that everyone is talking about remote work and in office and how should we organize it and how do we manage remote teams. But no one is really talking about what now happens to pay. Does anything happen to pay, or what are we looking at? And also a little bit then related to the earlier show where we talked about blockchain, and now that maybe we talk about digital currencies and and crypto. Also, because a lot of people ask me, when do we get paid in crypto? Well, probably not in the near future. Spoiler alert. And then I realized something else. Through my work with as board advisor of Zinio, I realized that the pay transparency directive of the European Union was coming, and not a lot of people were talking about it. And that made me realize that we needed to do a lot more of awareness training or building awareness, because if you as a company need to report in 2027, and almost all companies need to report by 2027, you do that over your pay data, your pay and compensation data of 2026, which means you basically have two pay cycles left to clear up any gaps that you have and that you might not want to include when your first report comes out. So that was the reason.
I sense there's a theme here, though, because we first, obviously, one of our earlier shows, as you mentioned, was about crypto and blockchain. Like, you were ahead of the curve then, talking about technologies that payroll professionals weren't necessarily familiar with. It's interesting to see that some of the predictions you made on the show 3-4 years ago have since come true as well, and that, hence that spoiler alert and some of those predictions you made at that time. So it doesn't surprise me that you've now kind of focused on a new area that I agree with you isn't being discussed enough. It's going to impact many of the, certainly the clients that we work with, the larger organizations. How do you think that pay transparency, though, really impacts, I guess, in my world of attraction and retention? You know, it's a really big challenge for HR professionals in particular, but also the payroll managers who are trying to keep hold of their skilled payroll teams. How does pay transparency impact employee trust and company culture?
So what we know is from research is that a lot of employees assume they have a pay gap. And they think it's 2 to 3 times worse than it actually is. And the reason for that is in many companies, pay compensation is still a secret. We don't talk about it. You talk about it with your manager. You probably talk about it with your colleagues, but you have no idea what an average job pays. Or if you and I go to a company and we interview there, typically we do not yet know what the compensation for that role is. So there's like this whole secrecy we don't know around pay. And with that comes a level of mistrust among employees in the pay policies of the company, and also in, you know, there's the question, am I being paid fairly for the work that I do? How does my pay compare to my colleagues? And there's a second reason that is starting to come out. There have been a few cases where, and this were predominantly women, have taken their employer to court just to say, well, you know, I worked for you, I did a really difficult job, and you did not pay me what you paid others. And they have won those cases in more, and we're seeing them win in more and more circumstances. So that means that also from an executive level, you don't exactly know what kind of risk you have in your company around pay. And that means that also other stakeholders, external stakeholders, are taking note and, for instance, asking the executives, hey, what internal risks do you have around this topic of equal pay? Is everyone being paid equally for work of equal value? Or do we need to assume that, you know, someone will take you to court with all the risks and the reputational damages that come with that? So there are a number of factors that play in to why is this important now to take a look at or to resolve, hopefully.
Yeah, and all of that makes sense. I mean, in my world, I get really frustrated when people don't put salaries on job descriptions and adverts, because A, it's a really good way of understanding if someone feels like they're the right level and you're not wasting people's time, and it manages the process much easier. We're seeing loads of adverts in my space being posted without salaries. And I just personally find that frustrating. I imagine it must be frustrating for the job seekers as well. So I think that's one element of, and I think there is a mistrust that starts right at that attraction phase, that advert phase. And also now we've got US operations as a business. We've got our recruitment business set up in the US. We've come to understand that many states in the US, you're not allowed to ask candidates what salary they're earning. And I think that's absolutely right. There's no need to ask, is do they have the skills to do the job? And this is what it's paying. I think the UK could learn a lot from the way that some of the US states do run those kind of campaigns. How do you feel about the market from a job seeker's perspective or from an attraction perspective in terms of where the salary should be listed? And I highlight that with a payroll angle, really, because if they were starting to be advertised, do you think that payroll professionals would be outraged or upset if they were to compare their salaries with an HR counterpart or a finance counterpart? Because it would potentially expose big pay gaps between sectors as well.
It would, and it probably will. And so the next 3 to 4 years are going to be really interesting. At a minimum, we will learn a lot about what our peers at other companies are being paid for the same or relatively the same job that we do. So there will be big surprises. I'm not so sure that payroll professionals will be very surprised. After all, they handle all the pay for the company. And so they typically have good insights, and most of them have good insights in what's going on. But I think that for the first time, it's probably right to have a conversation, to sit down and have a conversation and say, look, this is the value of my job compared to others, but also this is the value of my job when it comes to the company. So how does this job contribute to the overall value, to the direction, to the revenue, to EBITDA of the company? And those types of things you need to also take into account in the pay directive when you start to finalize the value of jobs and when you put them in the hierarchy and when you determine this job is, I would say, a little more difficult than this job. And so because it's more difficult or because it has more responsibility, it comes with a higher salary then.
So obviously, with your experience, and you write brilliantly on this subject, and you've got a book, of course, we're going to talk about in just a moment. But can you share some of the insights and some of the challenges that companies face when it comes to implementing pay transparency? Because this is going to fall on many payroll professionals' laps, as well as HR and other functions, right? So I wonder if there's anything you could share on that side.
So the workload is a little bit different when you're a company that already has a collective labor agreement. And typically you have levels and salary bands and structures that determine pay as compared to companies that are not part of a collective labor agreement, because then you might have some job descriptions, but maybe not a job hierarchy. You might have some salary bands, but you might not have the whole structure either. And so when you start out, the first thing actually that you need to do is to determine what your compensation philosophy is. What do you pay for and what do you not pay for? As a company, you could, for instance, determine that you want to pay for experience and skill, but you do not want to pay for location. Everyone gets what they get, and there's not a qualifier for location. Now, if you're an international company, that's probably a lot harder, but I do know some international companies that have a set rate across the globe. And they say, look, it's up to you where you want to live, but this is what we pay. Make it happen.
It's interesting. That's a much more global view, isn't it? Because I would immediately think of the cost of living in London. I couldn't do it. Well, that's on you. You know, Tim Ferriss in his book, I'll never forget this. Sorry to interrupt. I know you're on a thread, but it sprung something up. Tim Ferriss once said, I've never forgotten it in his book, I think it was the 4-hour working week, which I read many, many years ago. And he says that the thing is, a lot of people want to have that lifestyle where we sip cocktails on the beach, but we live in these in a place that makes that completely impossible to do. The reality is we can all do that, but we have to take a choice. To do that, you might have to move to the Philippines or to somewhere else. And that's the sacrifice. You can live the way you want to. You just can't necessarily do it where you are now. And that's your choice. So don't blame or ever look at someone else and feel like it's unfair. You have choice, or many of us have choices It's just we don't execute them because we don't want to leave our location or take that sacrifice. And there's always a sacrifice in the payoff piece. And so I hope that makes sense as to why I made that relevant.
It does make a lot of sense, because this point illustrates perfectly why this costs so much time. Because already this topic of location has a whole lot of complexities built into it. So do you pay for a location or not? Do you pay for experience or not? Do you pay for experience at your company, or do you pay for experience in the market, in the industry? So there are a lot of things that you need to think through when you start to create this pay transparency program. What we know from what we see at companies is that so far, pay is typically set by HR, but there is some room for managers to negotiate. And especially when the job market is tight, we have the tendency to offer higher salaries or offer more benefits in order to get people into the door. Well, that comes at a cost, and that cost is carried by your tenured employees that probably will not get that same pay raise because you hired them in a time when there was a lot of people. And so this stress between what are you now going to do for your internal employees that have been with you for 20 years, but that might not be so well paid as, you know, some of the people that you recently hired. Is that fair? Do you need to solve for that? What are you going to do? So one of the first things that I always recommend to companies, and here they need their payroll professionals, is start running your reports. It does not matter that they are incomplete, but you need to understand what you have, where you are, what your outliers are. And by running these reports over and over again, you also start to understand what it says. For instance, you will discover that you have people that joined 6 months ago and that make like 10 or 20K more than people that have been with you for 15 years, both doing the same jobs. What are you going to do now? And that is why it's so important that payroll professionals are in, because a lot of the data that you need sits in systems that they manage.
Hello, HR and people leaders. Are you not exhausted from the endless war for talent battle cries? I think it's time for a fresh approach, which is why at JGA Recruitment, we understand the real challenges you face in sourcing top HR talent. And guess what? We believe we have the solution. Our team is on a mission to revolutionize your hiring process, because we're not just recruiters. We're strategic partners dedicated to finding the best HR and people professionals who align perfectly with your company's vision and goals. Let's break the cycle of frustration together. Join forces with JGA Recruitment and experience the difference in hiring better talent faster. Don't let another day go by without taking action. Contact us today by visiting jgarecruitment.com to discover how we can transform your HR team. And here's a bonus. When you visit us, why not sign up for our weekly HR newsletter? Because it's packed with invaluable industry insights and more. We really hope you can revolutionize your HR department by working with JGA Recruitment. Contact us today. That makes sense. I mean, something I've discovered in the world of global recruitment is often where there's more security, salaries are lower. And often where there's less security, salaries are higher. If you compare, for example, the South African employment market versus the US employment market, highlights this point very, very clearly. But I think we also know, and there's many studies that support this, that people tend to find they move quickly, more quickly through the salary ladder, if you like, and increases by making regular career changes. It's getting the balance right between too much of a, in inverted commas, job hopper, it may be perceived to be, versus that willingness to commit. And it's, but I can't ever hide from the fact it must be incredibly frustrating for someone that's shown that huge level of commitment and trust and all the things that come with it to then find out that someone's joined 6 months. And there's loads of things at play here. It's going to be a really interesting time when this gets exposed. But you mentioned reporting. Obviously, to those reports, we need to use technology. For those not familiar with you, you're an absolute fintech whiz when it comes to payroll and HR. You spent 19 years at a C-suite level for various payroll organizations. You're the founder of HR Tech Radar as well. And there's loads of places that I will link our listeners to in the show notes. So do check this out after the show. But with that in mind, how can we use technology then to really facilitate successful pay transparency?
So the first thing, obviously, is figure out where all that data is. Because if you follow the EU directive, it is not only pay data, it is also compensation. It might even be time data to figure out where, you know, what happens when people are paid overtime. So the European Union uses a very broad description of pay. Everything that you get in finance, but also everything that you receive in kind. And that means that you need to translate that into money and come up with a total reward statement for your people. And there you see that you will probably not be able to rely on just one system. This data is typically scattered over a number of HR and payroll systems, like compensation, benefits, and you will need to bring that all to one place, or at least bring it together in such a way that you can add it up and then determine if pay between employees in the same level is equal.
How do you see pay transparency impacting the world of equity and equality? And I say that because, you know, in the UK, we've got the gender pay gap analysis that's coming in. I suspect in time, and if it doesn't, I think it should, but that's a personal recommendation. We're going to see an ethnicity pay gap analysis come in as well to make sure that we're trying to be equitable across all cultures and everything that, you know, everything that encompasses in the world of work should be skills-based and no other differentiation should exist. And obviously pay transparency is going to support, in theory, that to happen. But is that what we're actually going to see? Do you think that some of these innovative practices will help promote equality and equity in the workplace?
I think so, because there are a couple of elements in the European directive that aren't part of other directives. A really big one is sanction and fines. So if you, for a period of time, cross over this 5% pay gap, then ultimately it will lead to sanctions and fines. We don't know yet how much. That is up to the national institutes. Another thing is that I think is really important, and we already talked about that, is in future, you are not allowed anymore to ask new hires what they get paid today, what they earn today. It's up to the employer to set a pay rate. And that is what you discuss, not what I make today or what I made last year. That is irrelevant. If I qualify for the role, then that's it. I think this is one of the most important reasons that there are pay gaps, not only between gender, but also, like you mentioned, on other factors like disability or age or cultural background or age, those types of criteria. The second thing that is important, or actually the third thing, is that the burden of proof moves to the employer. So if an employee raises their hand and says, I think I have a pay gap, the employer needs to prove that that is not the case. Ultimately, if you take your employer to court, then also the employer needs to prove that there is not a pay gap. And that is different from today, because today you as an employee, if you take your employer to court, you have the burden of proof. So there are a number of elements in the law that help the employee get more understanding of, or better understanding of, what an employer pays. There will be more transparency about career paths and career options. So when I get in at this salary, what does that mean if I am in with this company for 5 or 10 years? What does that look like? And so all of the secrecy that exists today will be gone. And because this will be for all companies with, in the beginning, 150 employees and over in Europe, this will in one go lift the curtain on everything that has been secret around pay and compensation. And I think there is another really interesting angle to this. From the work that I do with global companies, I have noticed that they do not limit this to their European workforce. They are rolling this out across the globe. And that means that if they have a subsidiary in India or in South Africa or in the United States, these people will fall under the same levels of transparency as the employees that sit in the European Union. Now, just think about that for a second. If you are a company in the United States or in India that does not fall under this directive, but competes in the job market against these companies that provide transparency, then what are you going to do?
It's a massive thing. I mean, the fact you said that the burden moves to the employer as well, I think is really interesting, because I think that really highlights the role that payroll people are going to play in this as well, right? In terms of utilizing payroll data to support employer potential claims or defenses, or actually ideally proactively preventing these cases even coming to the fore in the first place. So there's a really, really important role for payroll professionals to play in all this. I think it's easy to assume it's pay transparency isn't their responsibility, but I understand from my perspective, it's more of a collaborative responsibility to get this right. And payroll's going to have a really important role to play because of the data that they have at their fingertips, because of the level of analysis they can do. Would you concur with that in terms of the broader future of work, that this is really important that payroll people understand how it's going to impact them moving forward?
I think so, because so far we've talked about data, and making sure that you can run reports, but a lot of it also is about, can you explain what you see? And do the pay policies that we have in this company work as intended? Or are there some unexpected consequences that influence pay or that contribute to a pay gap in certain departments or functions? And so I think a lot of that work will come to payroll professionals, because they, like no other, understand how pay policies, when you put them all together, create a pay slip or deliver a payment to an employee.
Yeah, that means, I mean, you've written an excellent book. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's all about implementing pay transparency. It's titled Equal Pay for Equal Work. It's available now on Amazon as well. So you can, if you're scrolling or whatever, and you want to go to Amazon and pick up a copy, you can. It's also available on your website, anitaletting.com. What if you can just tell us a little bit about the book and what we can learn from the book if people are interested in finding out more about this. And I'm going to ask a secondary question, because this might really bring this into the fore. So why it's really important that companies aren't hesitant about embracing pay transparency. And hopefully that will lead them to your book anyway, but it's a really important consideration for them.
Yeah. So the first thing, the book really helps people implement everything they need to do in order to be compliant by 2027. And the reason that I wrote the book is that if you're a large company, you probably have a budget to hire consultants. But if you're a small company, you still need to adhere to the directive. And there simply aren't enough consultants or pay transparency consultants in Europe to help you get through this. There probably aren't enough in the world. So I hope that with this book, where I share some experiences and lessons learned from other companies that went before, helps people understand what they need to do. I would say don't wait, because you only have two pay cycles to get it right. And then you need to run your first report on data of 2026. And I hope that most companies do not want to show a pay gap of more than 5% in that first pay report. But the reality is that the average pay gap in Europe is 13%. So there is some work to do. That is the unadjusted pay gap. So once you start looking at explanations and you come to the adjusted pay gap, that might be a little smaller, but you don't know. And because you don't know currently, it's better that you start working on this, explaining to your C-suite what's going on, so that they are not surprised when you know, when you come up with your final report in 2027.
It sounds like a much more cost-effective way of getting up to speed is to buy a copy of your book rather than trying to find a needle in a haystack pay transparency consultant in Europe who are probably going to be expensive if there aren't many of them, because the world of contracting is about supply and demand. And maybe this is a really, really good place to get started. I mean, I'm a huge fan of your work. For those that aren't familiar with you, please do go to anitaletting.com, sign up for your wonderful newsletter. You talk about pay transparency in every single episode of your newsletter that comes in. It really is a great resource for people that want to find out more about this. You also have a wonderful newsletter as well. It's all about HR tech and trends, so it's well worth having a look at. I'll put the link in the show notes. I guess my last question is there anything I haven't asked today that might be really useful for our listeners to take away in relation to pay transparency? If there's anything else we need to do to really hit home the importance of this, don't be hesitant, do move forward, do embrace it. I mean, the only thing that's constant in this world is change. We're trying to embrace AI, we're trying to embrace all these different things, but we shouldn't neglect this because it's coming, isn't it? We can't avoid it. It's coming. We need to be prepared.
It's coming. My advice to everyone would be do not wait. Just start working your way towards this. You can expand as you go. It isn't difficult, but it's a lot of work if you don't have structures, job descriptions, salary bands, everything in place. So please don't wait. Run your first pay report and then take it from there.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Anita Letting, thank you ever so much for sharing your invaluable insights on pay transparency today on the Paywall Podcast. To our listeners, I hope you found this episode really useful. I hope it's given you a deeper understanding of the importance of equitable compensation and the innovations which are shaping the future of the payroll industry. Do stay ahead of the curve by joining us next time on the Paywall Podcast. Subscribe, share it with your friends, do whatever you can to help raise the profile of payroll. And of course, if you are a payroll leader that needs support with a particular payroll vacancy, please do get in touch with either myself or any of my wonderful team at jgarecruitment.com. And if you want to find out more about equitable pay, then please do go to anitaletting.com as well. That leaves me to say, as your host, I'm Nick Day. I'm going to sign off and say a huge thank you once more to Anita Letting for joining me today on the Payroll Podcast. Anita, thank you.
You're welcome.
Today's episode of the Payroll Podcast has been sponsored by Deel, the all-in-one global people platform that simplifies how you pay your global teams. Deel's fully managed global payroll makes it possible to pay your entire team in over 100 countries and in over 200 currencies all in one place. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique business needs. With in-house customer success managers, local payroll experts, dedicated points of contact, and more, Deel's fully managed global payroll eliminates third-party handovers and provides unmatched compliance and flexibility. In fact, they'll even help you track and flag the latest changes to payroll regulations before they even become an issue. And with 24/7 monitoring and best-in-class security protocols, your sensitive data is always protected. So are you ready to transform your global payroll system? If you are, click the link in the show notes and book your demo with Deel today.